Good evening, Vancouver. Welcome back to Canucks After Dark, Monday, February the 5th, our first show of February. But it hasn't been too long since we've been here. But as always, joined by my co-host, Canuck Clay. How are we doing today, Clay?
I am great, Parker. Thank you. Hope you're well. Back to our regular scheduled nightly Monday night show. That Wednesday one was fun, considering I believe that became one of our top three shows of all time, if I'm not mistaken.
It is up there. I think it's our... It got a little bump yesterday. Don't know why.
Well, weird.
Usually things just sort of die out after the beginning. It is our most viewed show ever.
Really?
That Wednesday one. It just squeaked out... Jim Benning and Travis Green getting fired just barely by about 150 views or 250 views. It's also, I think, our most listened to podcast one in a while. Wow. So people are excited.
People like change, I think, is what it is.
Yeah, the change is it's the big news that seems to draw the people in. Yeah. And I mean, really, since then, nothing's happened. But we are going to do our best to keep it interesting, keep it entertaining, because the Canucks start a road trip tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's going to be a 5-game road trip against a couple of pretty tough teams, Carolina, Boston, Detroit, Washington, and then they get to finish up with Chicago, which will be a nice little easy one, hopefully, to finish off the road trip. But I think we'll also do a lot of talking about... You know, instead of talking about Elias Lindholm, which we talked about a lot on Wednesday, just sort of like what's next, right? There's still a month essentially until the trade deadline. The Canucks are still, you know, the most active trading group in the league. We just saw Sean Monahan get traded for a lot as well. So the Canucks sort of set the market. We'll go into that. We'll go into the line combos that we saw and where Lindholm's going to sort of, start out and where we think this team maybe has the potential to go.
That sounds good. And speaking of active, a lot of activity already. Thank you. Carol becomes a new member. Thank you, Carol. Fangirl proclaims her 19th month of membership. Thank you, Fangirl. And Justin, a $5 donation. Thank you, Justin. Arshdeep Bains won the AHL All-Star MVP after missing the skills competition yesterday. Why are the Canucks so insistent on playing musical chairs with Linus Karlsson shuffling them back and forth? Justin, actually, that's take it really quickly as a good thing. They have the ability to get him up and down. So when they have a breakup here in Vancouver, send him down, get him a couple games in Abbotsford. I actually don't know if he's playing, but he's obviously the 13th forward right now. So they want him up here, but it's a good thing. I think it has everything to do, Parker, correct me if I'm wrong, with the proximity to Abbotsford.
Yeah. It's nice that they can sort of do like Justin says here, those musical chairs, right? You don't have to be like, hey, we're going to pull this guy up. We got to fly him in from Utica, New York, and have him, stick around. Although, of course, with the Canucks on a 5-game road trip, that gets a little bit more, a little bit more tough. But yeah, overall, the ability to, make those moves more often and just cycle guys through. And, they don't like Arshdeep Bains. I mean, good for him. He had a really nice goal to finish off the All-Star game. But does he really need to come up to Vancouver to play 8 minutes a night or be the 13th forward? I don't think so, right? We're not seeing guys getting scratched, I don't think, right now. Now that Kuzmenko's gone, there's no real risk of someone coming out of the lineup, barring injury. So they seem to rather, they seem to be comfortable with Karlsson being that 13th guy, at least for this road trip coming up.
Great point. We got our 12 that are set, and then we have a 13 in Karlsson. Now we have a 14 in PDG. I know we'll get to that. And Taylor flexing her 8-month membership muscle. Thank you, Taylor. So thanks to everyone for your activity already. We can already tell it's going to be a good show for sure. Thank you.
Absolutely. So yeah, lots to get to, but not as much as Wednesday. So where do you want to start today? Do we want to start with previewing the upcoming road trip? Do we want to start with lineups? Where do you want to go? Yeah,
let's go with I kind of like when we preview near the second half, because it kind of feel like chronologically we're getting towards where we're going. We can talk about how the Canucks have been practicing over the last couple of days and what they might do, as you titled, or at least in the thumbnail, are more trades in the works.
Yeah. And that's going to be the thing that's pretty interesting, right? What's next, essentially? Because we know they're not done, right? Now, I had all the lines bookmarked, and I don't know how to access bookmarks on desktop. I'm very good at it on my phone. I have the line combos up here as well. Yeah. Let's start with that. Sure. Start with the big news. Phil DiGiuseppe back on the ice, as you alluded
yes.
to.
Yes.
Justin, maybe your message saying, Linus Karlsson being the 13th. Obviously, PDG was on IR, opening up that roster spot and keeping that ability for the Canucks to have extra guys. They can have enough guys up in the roster. Mm. Maybe he comes back in and Karlsson goes back down to the AHL this week.
Yeah. Actually, I was thinking about Parker, the way they lined up. You're allowed 23. So with Soucy out, they can run 14 forward, 7D, and then two goalies. So they
think Soucy's not on IR technically yet.
You're right. You're right.
So
you're right.
Technically he's still taking up a roster spot.
Correct. Correct.
But
good point.
They could put him on IR if they need to.
Yep.
I don't know why they haven't. I don't know what the cap implications are. I don't think there are any for regular IR. So I don't know why they haven't.
Isn't it better? And you can do it retroactively. So I think you can bounce it back to when he got injured and still accrue the cap savings. But that's not our job. We just talk about what happens when it happens.
No. And if they need the roster spot, they put him on IR, I imagine.
For sure.
Maybe it's just for some flexibility, although I imagine with a broken hand or whatever it is, he's probably not playing anytime soon.
Not yet.
Slightly important appendage that you need for NHL hockey. So
that's funny.
PDG available. So if they did want to call him up, because currently they have 13 forwards, 8 defensemen with Friedman and Soucy. Soucy in the press box, but Soucy obviously injured.
Yeah,
probably not on the road trip. And then Linus Karlsson. I imagine they probably go the route of throwing Soucy on IR, pulling PDG up. Or I can see that, lots of teams prefer to have the 8 defensemen on road trips.
Yeah.
So maybe they would, although I don't know who they call out. Well, you're going to bring Matt Irwin up? I don't know.
Why not? Why not?
But they're a little bit short. But let's go into obviously the line combos, right? Because the big change compared to a week ago is the subtraction of Andrei Kuzmenko and the addition of Elias Lindholm.
Mm-hmm.
So we speculated on this a little bit on Wednesday, and we've seen sort of the first draft of what the lines seem to be looking like.
Right.
And Tocchet's sticking with his philosophy of pairs, right? And it makes sense. The team's been fantastic. Why split up the duos that have been very good? So we speculated, it's probably going to be Miller and Besser together. It's probably going to be Pettersson and Mikheyev together. Then what? Do you put Pugh Suter on one of those lines? You put Lindholm on one of those lines? You probably don't mess up the third line. Do you try to move Hoglander up to the top six? Well, first practice, at the very least, they have gone with sort of keeping things as status quo as possible.
Yeah, basically swapping. Yeah.
Yeah, bumping Pugh Suter up to the JT Miller and Brock Besser unit. So that is some prime ice time for Pugh Suter. And then putting Lindholm on the line with Mikheyev and Pettersson, not touching the third line, not touching the fourth line, trying to essentially have as little impact on the lineup as possible.
Yeah, and basically, what they did is they brought in Lindholm for Kuzmenko because Suter had been playing with Miller and Besser. There's one game he got the hat trick in that losing effort where he scored all 3 goals in the third period. So Suter, you can argue if he's kind of he's playing up a little bit higher in the lineup than he should. But on this team right now, the only other guy probably is Hoglander that you could put up there. So let him cook with Besser and Miller. And I love what you said about the pairs. And to me, Parker, it's going to quickly become the two pairs I think are going to be Miller Besser and then Elias with Elias, because I really think that he's going to keep the Tocchet's going to keep PD and Lindholm together because he loves right shot, left shot, two centers supporting each other. So maybe Mikheyev is the one that ultimately gets bounced down. I hope not. I want him to be a big part of that line as well. But it's kind of funny how I think Suter and Mikheyev, those are the two that if either of them falter, I think people are actually going to be clamoring for Hoglander to get a shot in the top six. So to me, internally, that's going to be the fight to watch over the next little bit.
Yeah, I think this makes a lot of sense for new guy join the lineup. Disrupt as little as possible.
Yeah.
Do I want Pugh Suter in the top six? In a perfect world, no. Yeah. Right? But it's not a perfect world. The Canucks have really, really good depth. And like throughout the lineup, right? Like their second line, I don't even know which one it is, really, right? They sort of have two you know, 1A, 1B lines, and then they have a third line and a fourth line.
Sure.
Their third line's very good. Their fourth line's been solid.
Yeah.
And their top two lines are pretty good. It's just, you know, you'd probably want Pugh Suter on your third line, but with the way that third line's been playing, you know, I mean, yeah. If we didn't have any of the context from this season, I would say, oh, you probably want Hoglander. He's offensively skilled. You'd want him up there. You'd want Suter on the third line, move Dakota Joshua down. But of course, yep. based on the way that third line's working, you can't touch that. They've been great. And Hoglander seems to just excel in a fourth line role.
Yeah.
He has all, it's such a weird thing too, because he has all the offensive skill in the world.
Yeah.
He just cannot translate it when he's playing in the top six, but when he's playing in the bottom six, he's unbelievable.
Yeah. And I know you make a great point about Suter. I know both of us like him. We want him to do well. He's here for 2 years, not one, all those things. But Parker, yeah, you're right though. Cause do you want him in your top six? Cause imagine if they went Lotto line, tell me, this second line to me doesn't seem very strong on paper. Lindholm between Suter and Mikheyev, right? That's not, who knows, maybe they could surprise us, but that's not very strong. So I definitely see why the wisdom behind splitting the Lotto line up, at least to start off with Elias Lindholm.
Yeah, yeah. It's Lindholm, Suter, Mikheyev would be like, I think you'd have a 2C, a 2 wing, and a 3 wing. So it's like it's a slightly below average second line.
Yeah.
Whereas the Canucks can have sort of 2 average first lines by right. having, you know, a slightly winger, a weaker link on one of them.
Right. Just before it gets too far, Carol, thank you for the 5 memberships. Disturbed One, thank you for the extra another membership. So that's 6. And Disturbed One also becomes a member, him or herself. So a lot of activity. Thanks to all of you for your support. That's awesome.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Yep.
So we'll see how long this lasts. I do like the face-off diversity this gives as well, right? Obviously, JT Miller can win face-offs both ways. That's one of his strengths, right? He has mm-hmm. that, you know, that crazy forehand winner that seems to work all the time where he just hooks as hard as he can. And it works enough. Elias Pettersson's having his best year in the draws of his career, right? He's winning draws at 48.7%. Which isn't obviously fantastic. It's below 50, but his career average is about 44%. He has improved, but this does give them the ability to, you know, get extra aggressive on faceoffs, right? Because normally you lose or you get kicked out of a faceoff, someone worse goes in. But what we see a lot with the Canucks, especially when they do have like Pettersson and Miller out together, they'll get really aggressive on faceoffs and they probably get kicked out, but that extra aggressiveness maybe makes it more likely you win a faceoff. Or if you get kicked out, the second guy has a pretty good shot as well. And that also means, either of them can play center. I imagine Pettersson's going to be the center, no matter who's taking the draws, right? You know, faceoff is in the Canucks zone on the right-hand side. You probably want Lindholm taking that draw. It's in the offensive zone on the left-hand side. You probably want Lindholm taking that draw over a guy like Pettersson. You probably want Lindholm just taking more draws in general because Lindholm's very good in the face-off circle. So
yeah.
A little bit of extra flexibility on that line. And then even on that first line, right? You have sort of 2 centers there as well, right? Pugh Suter can play a little bit of center also. So the Canucks they're sort of following the Team Canada model a little bit of just loading up on centermen.
You know, it's funny. Jeremy just said that exact same thing. It seems like the Canucks are using the Team Canada roster format.
I swear I didn't read that. No, promise.
That just means both of you are smart guys. And most teams don't use this because, Jeremy, they don't have this many centers, basically. They're hard to come by, both obviously top-end centers and depth centers. By the way, Parker, I was laughing when you said that Miller can be aggressive in the faceoff. Did you see that clip, one where I think he didn't like the linesman and basically the linesman dropped the puck and Miller didn't even try and get the puck? He just whacked the linesman in the shin.
Yeah, it's an excuse. If you really don't like a guy, you can get away with that, I guess.
It's so bad, man. It's so bad.
Yeah, it's a little bit tough.
Yeah.
So let's say they go into... the game tomorrow. Let's say it doesn't work, right? The lines that they have together right now, right? Suter, Miller, Besser, Mikheyev, Pettersson, Lindholm. Assume the bottom six remains untouched. Do you think the only thing that they would shuffle would be move Suter down, move Lindholm up, like just swap those two? Or would you start messing with the pairs a little bit, maybe have Pettersson and Lindholm as a pair and then flip, you know, Mikheyev and Suter?
I like the second one you said. I definitely think it is going to be, like I said, PD and Lindholm, the two Swedes. That's the pair to me. I wouldn't mind seeing Mikheyev with Besser and Miller because there's just not a lot of speed on that line. Besser is not fast. You know, that Miller can be fast, but not always. I would love Mikheyev on that line, bum knee and all, and try Suter with PD. Because I think with PD, you at least, well, PD's not the fastest either. We don't have a lot of speedsters now that I think about it. Without are all our speeds on our fourth line, basically, with Hoglander and Lafferty down there. But I do like what you said, the second part of what you said. I think the two Swedes will be the pair, and then you're flopping left wingers.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat too. Yeah. I think they want to go the Pettersson and Lindholm route, being together, and I'm good with it. Again, assuming it works out, and I don't think you can just take tomorrow as the whole sample, right? You're against a pretty tough team in Carolina. They've been very good this year. So obviously we shouldn't be overreacting based on tomorrow, but I just hope it looks seamless and they can work together well, even though it usually doesn't start that way.
Yeah.
But you know, this trade happens so early, the Canucks do have, 33 games to work out any hitches.
Yeah. You know, I know, I'm sure you've watched some highlights, you've read, you've heard all the media about Lindholm. It's funny. Like, I've heard, Parker, that they say he's not like the best creator. He's a distributor, but he's not the best creator. Explain to me what that means. Is it basically he's a good passer?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe a good eye for what's going on. Right. I don't know the exact methodology in determining the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. But I guess he's not the sniper, even though he had that one year with 40. Did he ever 40? No, he had 82 points. I wonder what is
the most 42 goals.
He did. Okay. That's pretty good. That's more than Petey's ever got, right?
Yeah. But he'll break that this year.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. It doesn't matter. I don't care. As long as one of them passes to the guy and the other guy shoots and scores, I don't care. Involve the third other guy once in a while. And I'm excited. I really want to see, obviously he's going to take Kuzmenko's spot on the power play. Kuzmenko didn't kill penalties. And I'm not, with all due respect to Kuzmenko, we like this trade, as we talked about ad nauseum on Wednesday night, because you're not really giving up anything from, quote, this year's lineup. So I can't wait to see Lindholm's effect. I really can't. And then he's bonding with the team on the road trip. He's made that point a couple of times. This is why we're so excited on Wednesday night. And I think why we're both still excited today on the eve of the last third of the Canucks season. I can't wait, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go to the power play.
Okay.
We've talked about up front. We'll go power plays, and then we'll talk about sort of what they could do next.
Sure.
So power play one in practice today. Pretty much, the same other than the addition of Lindholm, right?
Mm.
They have Lindholm, Netfront, Besser, Miller, Pettersson, and then Hughes at the top. So pretty much the same, although I don't know exactly how this maps out. Like, Miller and Pettersson and Besser all kind of move around a bit. Besser is usually more net front. Maybe Lindholm's going to be more, below the net. But what do you think of what that might do for the power play?
Yeah, I probably should look this up. I don't know what Lindholm, where his strength is. Like, as a right shot guy, you're technically not in the bumper, right? Because usually you flow through the other side, correct?
Yeah, I'd think so.
Yeah.
So you could be, unless his job is to just be, below the blue or below the goal line, right?
Yes.
And try to, create from either side. Whereas a right shot guy, he then has that ability to come around the net and feed sort of the downhill JT Miller potentially.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, that's true. Because, Kuzmenko's right-handed, Besser's right-handed. So, of course, you need it, one or two right-handies. So maybe if he's below the net, and I guess, does that mean Besser's in the bumper as a right shot? So that goes against my theory. You can have a right shot guy in the bumper. And then
no idea. We'll get a look tomorrow. Again, it's kind of tough looking at just, a tweet that sort of shows an emoji of a net and then five names. Because I'm thinking, I'm like, well, isn't Besser normally in front of the net? But then who's behind the net? That doesn't get mapped out in the, so it's a tough thing to map out in just text. But tomorrow we'll get a good look, and I'm hoping, I'm hoping it works out pretty well, because I think they are upgrading on that power play. Mm-hmm. Power play two, I don't think has changed at all. They're going four forwards, one D. So they're going Suter, Mikheyev, Lafferty, Garland.
Garland, yep, with Hronek. Yeah, that's correct. That's the same one.
Yeah. So is anyone missing? I guess Suter's in. There's
no Blueger, no Joshua,
no Hoglander, I think, is a little bit interesting.
Right.
Missing from that, especially because Lafferty's in there, although Lafferty's going to be the face-off guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Who tweeted the power plays, by the way?
I got it from Drance.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks. Yep. I can't wait. I know we don't get to we don't know much about their penalty kills because no one cares about that, at least on tweets. So
yeah, they didn't seem to run them today. And Daily Faceoff hasn't updated anything based on that because nothing's changed. So I don't know if Lindholm's getting any PK time or if it's just going to be, you know, Bluger, Joshua, Suter-Oman, or if they want PD out there a little bit, Miller out there a little bit.
Yeah.
We'll, again, that's something that we'll have to find out tomorrow.
Yeah. Parker, you know what's funny? I finally found the Drantz tweet. The way that he tweets it, and you're right, it's just like it's how you can only do so much on X. But to me, that says Lindholm is net front. Miller's right, in the
Besser spot.
Yeah.
Besser,
and Miller's in the bumper and Besser and PD on the wings. That's what it looks like to me.
Which is weird to me because JT Miller is just designed for that downhill left wing play.
He loves it.
Yeah. So that like to me, that looks like maybe they line up that way, you know, right after the faceoff. But I can see that having a lot of movement. But again,
I agree.
Tough to know till tomorrow.
Yep. Very good. Excited. I hope Carolina takes a penalty in the first 5 minutes of the game so we can see.
Yes. And then another one. And then another one. And then the Canucks will be owed penalty kills because that's how the NHL works.
Of course.
All right. So that's where we think the team is now. Yep. And I guess I'll ask you just the question. Is that enough? Have they done enough? Look, we're talking about the team that's first in the NHL.
Yeah.
We're talking about a team that just made, you know, that just traded their first round pick and a couple of prospects for, you know, a number two center, essentially, maybe winger. Is that it? Is that enough?
On Wednesday and Thursday, I would have said no, Parker. I would have said, because I was so excited and then we saw the fur around this team. I said, okay, this is the first, probably the biggest move, but they're going to do one or two tweaking moves as, you know, in the next little bit. Then I thought, well, wait a sec. The reason why you traded for Lindholm so early is A, Rutherford loves trading early, B, set the market, C, get him in here 5 weeks early so he's not a true rental. He's not so much of a rental, and you have him for that whole month, acclimatized systems, blah, blah, blah. I actually think that they're going to see how well they do with the team while always keeping their eye open on the market. If something comes up that they can't refuse, a depth piece, whatever, that for a mid-round asset draft pick, I think they're always going to keep their eye out for those depth pieces. But I also think that they're going to track to see how well this team does in the next 3 weeks. And then that gives them another 2 weeks before the trade deadline. Or a week before the trade deadline. It's my gut feeling, because you're right. They came in at number one, tied with Boston. Like, what else do you want?
Yeah, I kind of like that idea, right? And there's the two things to balance, right? One is get as much time as possible to establish team chemistry, get as much time as possible with these guys to accumulate as many points as possible and finish as high in the conference as you can, so you ideally play a worse opponent in the first round, right? Mm-hmm. Or all the way through the playoffs. But if you're going to make a move like this, like Lindholm, I also kind of like the idea of, hey, we now have time, right? We can sit back and say, hey, let's see, you know, we've changed one variable. Let's see how the team reacts to that. If this team suddenly looks like a weapon and it looks unstoppable after that big trade, well, then they maybe say, okay, now we don't want to touch anymore. Now we're good. Or maybe they say, hey, you know, 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, all right, we've looked decent, but I think there's one little thing we can tweak, right?
Yeah.
Maybe we don't want Pew Suter on the first line, right? Maybe that's a thought that crosses their mind and they can go out and try to make something happen to address that. Or maybe there's some sort of injury, right? And they say, okay, we need to go out and get, a fourth line winger, or, you know, maybe because we don't want Linus Karlsson in the playoffs and we need to get another guy to maybe fill that role. I think they could go the wait and see approach.
Mm-hmm.
But again, they've been so aggressive that I could just see them, you know, just a couple more little tinkery moves, right? Trade a fourth here and, you know, trade a depth prospect over there, right? They definitely have that flexibility, maybe not cap-wise, but they've been manipulative enough to make things like that work.
Yes, I agree, Parker, with you completely about the tinkering, because I think of the Luke Shen trade last year is – we traded away Luke Shen. We got a third round pick. So I could see that's exactly what you're talking about, is one of those moves where you're giving up a third or fourth round pick to get someone who's of a Luke Shen quality. So not a top four D, not a top six forward, but maybe some depth, some insurance. And you're right. The health of our lineup is going to completely dictate how how much more Alvin and Rutherford do. But we're in a good spot. Carson Soucy is the only major injury, and he's supposed to be back, you know, by the end of February. So we'll see.
Yeah, and the later you make those moves, the more cap space you might have, right? Or the less cap space you require potentially for those moves. But yeah, I could see them doing, yeah, like you mentioned, something similar to the Luke Shen trade last year, right? Yep. You know, trading, you know, a third or a fourth for just an extra body, right?
Yeah.
However, this week we did see a couple of our guys playing with another guy, and they looked pretty good together. Little Frank Vetrano, and that sort of stirred up the pot a little bit. Where would you be in on a Frank Vetrano trade?
Honestly, I didn't think too much of him before this weekend, and this weekend is a little bit tough to gauge. But he was fine. He was good. We know Tocchet likes him, or at least he predicted him enough. I'm just looking up. So he's 3.65 this year and next year. So that's another $4 million player. Wow.
Yeah, it wouldn't be cheap. But, I mean, he had 41 points last year. He's already got 22 goals this year. 36 points. He is on a bad team. And kind of doesn't, you know, probably is playing a lot of minutes in comparison to where he maybe should play. Just sort of a fun idea. He literally, yep. I just, you know, he's fun to watch out there.
He was, yeah, he played on PD's line, right? And then, I know we're going to break down the All-Star game, but Miller and Besser, oh, they're so bad on defense. Besser gave up that one right up the middle, and then another one, he didn't pick up anyone, and then PD and Miller didn't even get shots off. Whatever, it was just whatever, just All-Star.
They haven't had a lot of overtime experience, you know? They haven't played a lot of 3-on-3 this year. That's what we're going to blame it on.
Okay, I'll go with that too.
Yeah, no. So Vetrano is a name, obviously, that's floating around. Tanev's a name that's floating around, which would be exciting, but probably expensive, I would have to imagine.
I heard first rounder. They want a first rounder for him.
Well, I think the rumor was they wanted a second and a B prospect.
Okay.
And then, but like Toronto was interested, but they don't have a second for like the next 3 years or something stupid. I might be completely wrong in making that up. I read a tweet, and we know how reliable those can be. But, and I can tell you right now, they have no seconds for the next 3 years. So for Toronto, it would have to be a first from Toronto because they don't have any seconds. And it's like, well, that seems a little bit reductive, but
right.
Yeah. So maybe a second and a B prospect. And of course, you'd have to clear up cap space when you do that too, right? And that's where it gets difficult because trading away anyone in the AHL, the Canucks don't have anybody making $1 million in the AHL, right? Which is a nice change of pace. Mm-hmm. So trading any of those guys, you don't get any cap relief, right? Because all those contracts are essentially null while they're down there because they're below the threshold of counting. So you'd have to trade for Chris Tanev. You'd have to trade. What does Tanev make? Like four or five.
Yeah, I don't know.
So you'd have to trade. Like, what's their deadline space at right now? Deadline space is about $1 million. So you'd have to trade like $3 million out, right? $3.5, almost $4 million out. And then what are you doing? Are you trading Mikheyev? Well, now you don't have any forwards left, right? are you trading Zadorov, the guy you just went out and got? I don't think you're trading him back to Calgary. That doesn't make any sense. So they'd have to do some weird trickery. They have to like trade Zadorov one way for a pick, take that pick, repackage it, and go get Tanev. It would be a mess. But it would be an upgrade.
It would. Yep.
But it would. I don't see it happening.
And then, Parker, just before we start to preview the upcoming week, you and I both have talked about if they make a move, minor as it is, it might be for a depth forward or even a middle six forward, because we've talked about being deep enough on D, not the most talented group ever, but your top seven are okay. And then you kind of get by with not 8 through 12. Are you still of that mindset, or have you changed that at all?
I think if you're going to make a move, if it's going to be on D, it needs to be an impactful D, right? Yeah. Going out and getting a Luke Shen, for example, to sort of go back to that, that parallel, it doesn't do anything, right? It's like, oh, wow, now he's not in the lineup, right? Oh, a guy gets hurt. Okay. It's Shen or it's Juleson or it's Friedman or, you know, like it doesn't, like, where's the actual upgrade, right? Unless you have three injuries in your depth. But up front, you know, now we're talking about, instead of Linus Karlsson, we're talking about a depth winger, right? Or a depth, you know, probably a depth winger, I would imagine, right? And that could be, hey, we want the guy who's 31, who's played in the playoff, who's got like 40 games of playoff experience over Linus Karlsson, who is, you know, who's never played a playoff game.
Right. Right? Right.
Or over Phil DiGiuseppe, who, you know, wasn't really an NHLer until the last couple of years, right? Has PDG ever played a playoff game in the NHL? He's played three, right? So maybe they say, you know, hey, we want guys that have, you know, have a little bit of NHL experience over a PDG, over a Linus Karlsson. We're going to go pick up someone of that route. And then I would think, yeah, that's probably the route that they would want to go. Because unless you're picking up a top four defenseman, like, what's the point?
Yep. I agree. So I think we're both in the same boat. Keep your eyes open on the market. Always look to tinker, tweak, make your team stronger, but also give this team as it is a bit of a runway now to see how they do.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Excellent. All right. That's 30 minutes down, 30 minutes to go. Let's go into the upcoming games. I think, I think that's all we have left. And then we can go to the people after that.
Sounds perfect.
All right. Let's look at the upcoming road trip. The Canucks play four games before we are back next, all on the road, and then one game shortly after that, and a couple of morning games again.
Oh, yes. At least they're on the weekend, though.
What a sports weekend we've got coming up.
Yeah.
With two Canucks games, the Super Bowl, all at different times. Actual good scheduling from the NHL. Good job. Let's start with tomorrow, Tuesday. Canucks go to Carolina. They've been in Carolina for 2 days now. Everyone traveling from wherever they were. Connor Garland going to the wrong airport, having to drive 2 hours to Raleigh.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, I think he flew to Connecticut or something. I don't know.
Well, yeah, because they're not traveling as a team. They're all coming from wherever they were,
They're coming from wherever they were, right?
Nice one.
The equipment's all with the team, but... So the Canucks going to Carolina. Carolina, second place in the Metropolitan Division, fourth in the Eastern Conference, 28 wins, 15 losses, 5 OTLs, and went in hot for the All-Star break. Three straight wins, won 7 of their last 10 with 15 points out of a possible 20. Their goal differential wouldn't scream that they're fantastic, right? A plus 19 goal differential, but they're 13 games over 500. And as for, obviously, we're not sponsored by any... you know, sports betting or anything like that, or nor do we really push it at all or endorse it. But Carolina is the favorite by a decent margin in this one.
Wow. I love what you said. Yeah. They have 15 points in their last, 7-2-1 in their last 10. But I just looked as you're rattling off all those stats, here's two others. They're better than us on both power play and penalty kill. That's pretty scary. They're 28%. They're second overall in power play. So,
wow. Yeah. That's a big one.
And they're fourth.
The penalty kill is okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right in the middle.
But it's not unbelievable.
So they're better power play. They're better penalty kill, and they're better in face offs, whatever. I don't read too much in that now that we have Lindholm, but yeah, this is going to be tough. I know a lot of people are looking forward, Parker, to the Boston game, battle of the number one teams in the league. This game is going to be just as tough, especially when it's your first one coming out of a break.
Yeah. This is really going to be determined, I think, pretty early, right? Who's got the jump coming out of the All-Star break? You've got, you know, the entire essentially top six of the Vancouver Canucks were at the All-Star game, right? Does that help them? They've sort of stayed in a hockey mindset. They were on the ice a couple of days ago. You know, maybe less rested, though, than more of the Carolina players, because I think they just had Aho there.
Yes, correct. Correction.
Which, pretty surprising for a top four team. But I guess they probably don't get as much fan vote.
Right.
Every fan vote was the Canucks and the Maple Leafs. it's a tough matchup. And I think we're going to see, it's going to be whoever's got the step coming out of the gate.
Have we played these guys already at home?
I can tell you that in 2 seconds. The Canucks have... the Canucks beat Carolina 4-3. Back on December 9th.
I'm trying to remember that game. Okay. Oh, shoot. What a stupid. Yeah.
That was a game that the Canucks were up 3-1. They actually blew the lead, and then Pettersson scored which has happened a couple times lately, so that probably doesn't help. And it was 2 full months ago.
Okay. Okay. So that close game, as you'd expect, because they're 2 very good teams.
Yeah. Now I do want to mention, I'm going to verify this before I say it. Starting goalies, who do they have tomorrow? Oh, it doesn't actually. Oh, I can go Tuesday, February 6th.
Ranta's their leader, but
yeah, because either Kochetkov or it's Ranta. It says Ranta on the NHL site.
Yeah.
I mean, their goaltending hasn't been great either way, though, right? Kochetkov's got a 900, although 2.5 at goals against average looks pretty good, but a 900 save percentage, and Ranta hasn't been great. Ranta's got an 870. So with a high PDO team like the Canucks, they have the goaltending edge regardless of who's in net.
Yep.
You know, it's going to be whether or not they can put the puck in the net. I mean, 2 hot teams, though.
Yeah, and, you know, you think Carolina would score more than they would with Svechnikov and Tervainen and Necas and, of course, Aho, Jarvis. But, yeah, I don't know. I guess they're very efficient because their power play is so good. And, yeah, weird. Very weird.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens that one. I mean, yeah, like I said, Carolina's favorite. Not by a ton. You know, it's minus 139, so it's probably like 45, 55. 42-58, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. So it's not like the Canucks are, there's no chance of winning. But there'll be slight road underdogs, which makes sense against a team that's pretty decent.
And 2 tough guy coaches. Imagine if, I know like bench coach fights that aren't a thing, they don't happen, but it would be Tocchet versus Brind'Amour. That would be pretty sick.
That would be. I actually don't know who I'd take because Tocchet would probably win, but Brind'Amour's, you know, he's got spirit.
Yeah.
Let's go to Thursday. So that's Tuesday tomorrow, 4 o'clock.
Yep.
Thursday, tough one. Again, Canucks Bruins. So this is, obviously, like you mentioned, top 2 teams in the NHL, both teams coming out of the All-Star break with 71 points in 49 games. Canucks have 2 more wins. The Bruins have 4 more overtime losses.
Mm-hmm.
The Bruins have won 7 of their last 10. The Canucks have won 8 of their last 10. The Bruins will play tomorrow as well against Calgary. So they're, you know, same rest, same everything. They haven't played since the 27th. The Canucks haven't played since the 27th. So there's no rest difference.
Yeah.
It's going to be Swayman versus Demko. I have to imagine.
You saw that locker room thing, right? With the two.
Yeah. And I'm hoping that, you know, I'm hoping there's a bit, I would love to see this just be a goaltending duel, like just be like a 2-1 game.
Quick aside. Do you think Demko did not see him? Like, so this is giving Demko benefit of the doubt. Do you think Demko did not see Swayman go for his Allmark hug? Or do you think he completely saw him and he just walked right past him?
I really hope it's the latter.
It was just so good.
He saw all the other goalies do it, you have to think, right? Like, they all did it right before.
But maybe he was so zoned in, man. So zoned into the All-Star game.
Maybe he is a competitor, but I don't know. Maybe he's like, look, I know the optics would be bad if I'm hugging a Bruins goalie. We're going to head down, walk by.
It was so funny. Oh, it was so good.
It's great. Fantastic. Yeah. And there were some like people on Twitter, like I think like Bruins fans on Twitter, like, wow, how disrespectful. Like, like, how dare you? It's like, I don't know, like, relax. I thought it was funny.
Yeah. Truly, if it was reversed, if Demko, for whatever reason, went for a hug for Swayman and Swayman walked by, I like to think I wouldn't be all mad about it. I'd say, oh, that's pretty funny, actually.
Yeah. I mean, you're a wrestling fan too, right? So there's a little bit of, you know, a little bit of the drama and a good little storyline, especially since they play so soon.
I love it. I love it.
I just want to see what we have. So yeah, the Canucks, they haven't played yet. They play twice in essentially Correct. 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So they play Thursday, the 8th, and then they play, it looks like Saturday, the 24th of February. So not a back-to-back, but fairly close. And yeah, could just be an absolute goaltending duel. You know, Demko's got a 920, Swayman's got a 924, and we say that, and it's going to be like a 6-5 game.
Because both teams are good at defense, but both teams have got some. Yeah, you got Pasternak, Marchand on your team that already, you know, they're going to score. So,
yeah, they are. They're one of the, you know, I think they have third lowest goals against in the Eastern Conference. Just barely. The Panthers and Penguins are about the same.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have the best goal differential behind the Canucks, right? Canucks are plus 59. They are plus 45.
Yep.
So yeah, they know how to score.
So this is going to be two awesome, entertaining games. 4 o'clock starts, obviously, because they are East Coast games. So yeah, what a way to come out of the break. No excuses, no reason to not be pumped up for these.
Yeah, going to be two great games and two games that can just ruin your afternoon if they go poorly. So that's the two games during the week. And then, you know, it'd be nice if those were the weekend games, but we do get two games this weekend and really tight turnaround, right? We talk about, you know, 4 games in 6 nights or 3 games in 5 nights or whatever it would be for the Canucks here. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, three games in 4 nights, right? That's usually like, oh, that's it. You know, you play, you have a gap, and then you have a back-to-back. The Canucks sort of have that, but accelerate it, right? Because they have the Thursday game at 4 o'clock Vancouver time. Then they play Detroit Saturday at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
And then Washington Sunday at 10:30 a.m. So it's like a 3-4, but with like 6 less hours of rest.
Yeah, it's 3 and 3.5, if that makes possible. Yeah. If that makes sense. Yeah.
Essentially.
Thank God they're, well, one of the teams, no, they're both not really good. Washington started off good, but we'll go Detroit first, I guess.
Yeah. So, I mean, Detroit's been okay, right? I mean, they are in the heart of the playoff push, right? They have 58 points. They are in a wild card spot. They are, it's essentially, you know, in the wild cards, it's right now it's Toronto and Detroit, both coming from the Atlantic. So they've been pretty good lately. They've won 6 of their last 10. They've been, you know, scoring more goals, which is good for them, right? They have the most goals for in the Eastern Conference at 176.
Oh, wow.
They just allow a lot of goals too. They've allowed one of the most in the conference at 161. So they are high event hockey, maybe not the best goaltending, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But the big thing is Detroit's on their bye week. The Canucks have had their bye week sort of before the All-Star game. Detroit has theirs after. Detroit does not play before this game.
Oh, weird.
So the Canucks will be on their third game in 4.5 days, 5.5 days, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And Detroit will not have played since January 31st.
That is interesting. So there's their 10-day break just later, as you said.
Yeah. So Matt, that'll be, you know, again, a tough bit of scheduling for the Canucks to deal with. And then they go back to back and they have the Capitals the following day at 10:30 a.m., which is perfect because that game will end around 1 and then Super Bowl is at what, 3:30?
Yeah.
It's going to be a great sports day.
By the way, Detroit, DeBrincat had Demko's number all-star weekend, but that's whatever. All-stars.
Yeah, DeBrincat's a good player.
He is very good. The Washington one's interesting. They started off so good and everyone was just waiting for the wheels to fall off. Then we heard that Kuznetsov today goes into the player assistant program. So hopefully he's okay. But yeah, and then everyone's was watching this Ovechkin watch, and he hasn't done anything in terms of goals this year. So
9 goals.
Same as Lindholm.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think Ovechkin's getting traded.
Correct.
Yeah. And again, I was loving the Ovechkin watch, and I was hoping he'd get to, you know, 900 or you know, 894, whatever it takes. But yeah, just completely stalled out this year. But you know, it's always a good game. Canucks and Capitals. Have they played? They haven't played yet this year, have they?
No, they also are coming later this month too. Or no, they're March. They're March. Yeah, they're March.
Gotcha. So yeah, couple of easier games for the Canucks, right? They'll be favored in those two. Although the back-to-back's tough, I doubt the Capitals would have a back-to-back if they're at home,
right?
On this Sunday, I will check really quick. They are on a back-to-back as well.
Who are they playing Saturday?
They play Saturday in Boston.
Oh,
at 12:30,
good
our time. So they're also on a quick turnaround, right? Quicker than the Canucks even, because they play at 12:30 then 10:30. I think the Canucks play at what, 10 and then 10:30? Yeah, 10 and then 10:30. So slightly more rest, 2 hours, whatever. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But yeah, overall, I mean, and then of course there's the game on Tuesday that we'll talk about next Monday against the Blackhawks. So in this road trip, 5 games, they will be the favorite in 3 of them. They will be the underdog in 2 of them, because they will definitely be the underdog against Carolina and Boston.
Yep. So I will be bold, and now you go first this one. 4 games.
Are you going for the whole road trip or just the 4?
Let's do all five. What the heck?
Okay, well, just add one to your win column. Okay. I'm gonna go. I mean, I think they beat Washington. I think they beat Detroit, and I think they can probably pull one of the two games against Carolina and Boston, right? Just because of the way they've been playing.
Yeah.
But I also like, I think the likelihood of winning one of those two games is probably similar to the likelihood of losing one of the other two, just because it's a random sport. So I'm going to go conservative 2-1-1.
And then you're adding Chicago 3-1-1, right?
Sure. Yep. Throw Chicago in there.
Yeah. You know, I'm not going to alter just for the sake of being different. That's exactly what I was going to say too. So for this week, we have the same prediction, 3-2-1-1 for the four games.
Yeah. 3-1-1 for the road trip.
Yep.
And that would be fine. 7 points out of a possible 10. Just keep adding them up, right? And then they get to come home. They get Detroit again. Then the Jets, which will be tough. A couple of tough games. It's a tough month for the Canucks.
Yeah.
You know, they go after these five games, they get Detroit, which again, they should beat. But they get Winnipeg. Then they go have on the road again. To Minnesota. Yeah. Then to Colorado on back-to-backs. Yeah. Then they travel back to Seattle. Then Boston comes here. Pittsburgh comes here. LA comes here. And that takes us to the end of February, essentially. So,
eight of the next 10 are on the road then, is what you're saying.
It's
correct.
It's a tougher month. It is eight out of the next 10. That is correct. Okay. On the road. Have they played more road games than?
Yes, they have. Because March, they're like at home forever, it seems like.
Right. Yeah. I want to see the number. I should have it here. The Canucks remaining games, 52% are at home. So they've had a few more aways than.
Yeah, just barely. Yeah.
Yeah. But all right, looking at the Athletics projections, the Canucks do have the fifth hardest strength of schedule from here on out.
Oh, fifth hardest.
Fifth hardest. Yeah. Just behind Washington, Boston, Buffalo, Montreal.
Okay. So, yeah. Yeah, you're 52%. That's the difference of one game. Yeah, they played 24 home, 25 away. So then they got 18 home and 17 away for their last 35.
Makes sense. So they'll play a bunch on the road, then they'll play a bunch at home. Mm-hmm. So they just, again, coast on the road. And they've never done that this year. I mean, we say like, oh, they just got to coast and then they can come home. And meanwhile, what are they on the road? They're 15-7-3. Like they're fantastic on the road. They're just even better at home at 18-4-2.
Yep. Good. Pound everyone.
Those are our projections. Folks, you can get yours in the chat here if you'd like. There's 250 of you in here. Make sure you hit like. Make sure you hit subscribe while you are here. I know we were at 1799 subscribers when we started, so we did hit 1800. Awesome. Thanks, everyone, for hitting that button. Let's get those up, though. While we're here, because there hasn't been any games in the last week, except for the All-Star game, we don't need to go into the All-Star game. I mean, McDavid won the skills competition that he designed.
Yeah.
And he deserved it because he's the best player in the world.
Team Matthews won the actual game. Fine. They're the home team. Matthews MVP. Good story. Fine.
Yeah. Canucks Bieber, horrible. Rest. They only played 8 minutes apiece and got to go home. No one got hurt. I thought I was worried Demko was going to get hurt in that breakaway challenge.
Yes.
But he didn't. So now we can go to you, the people. Rarely we get to do this. And I'm stressed because there's 250 of you in here. So it's going to go really fast. So get your questions in. We'll try to star some as they come through. And we can take the next 12 minutes or so taking some questions. And we start with Edmund.
Does Lindholm score 11 more, Parker, in the 33 games? So 1-3 to get to 20.
So essentially, does he score at like a 27-goal pace the rest of the way?
Correct.
I think so.
I do too.
And I think that shouldn't be too hard. Playing with Elias Pettersson, who already has 27 goals this year, I think, and of course, getting some time on that power play. If he is in that spot that Besser's normally in, Miller will just fire six off of him, and then he just has to score like five more.
I'm with you. I think he will too. Does Kessel, a lot of people talking about Kessel, not just now, but throughout the stream. Do you take a flyer on this guy?
Oh, absolutely. I would. Are you kidding me? That would be, all day. I would love that. And again, you know, he's 36, right? Like he's not going to be phenomenal. I want to get his stats from last year really quick here. Wow. That is not an appealing picture when you search for his name. He was productive last year, right? 36 points in 82 games. I mean, he didn't play a lot of the playoffs. He only played four games in the postseason, But Vegas had, you know, a lot of forward depth that the Canucks really don't, right? Again, when we're talking about if someone goes down, do you want Linus Karlsson in your lineup or do you want Phil Kessel in your lineup, right? Phil Kessel might be a fun piece, and it gives you the ability to get a little bit flexible at the top of the lineup if things start to slow down, right?
Right.
Because
right.
if we look at, you know, the Canucks Lions right now, like we mentioned, if Pugh Suter, you know, is not playing well and can't be in the top six anymore, you know, you can move up Garland, but you don't want to break up that third line. And then your only real option is Hoglander, right? And that doesn't, you know, that doesn't sound great. Although putting Kessel with Miller and Besser sounds like the slowest group of all time. So there's some give and some take.
Yeah, but Team USA right there.
You don't have to pay anything.
Right.
You just have to give him money. You don't have to give up any assets. It's free.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I hear you.
So that's my thought.
Oh, that's fair. That's totally
Oh
fair.
My goodness. There's been so many comments since I last looked at the chat.
That's good. Pick whatever you want.
What do you think about Kessel?
Yeah, I'd take a flyer too. On one hand, I was going to say he's not Rick Tocchet type of player. Like, he's not going to be the first forechecker, tough on the boards, any of those things, but he can pop goals. So I think if there's enough of the other part, the other attributes from other players, I think it's worth it. I do.
Yeah. And again, look, Vegas played him four games in the playoffs last year, right? Yep. That's not a great sign. However, the Canucks don't have to play him, right? Yep. If you want a black ace in the lineup, Phil Kessel's a pretty good one, right? Instead of having a Linus Karlsson in the press box for the playoffs, you can say, hey, you know, we need to shake up the lineup a little bit. We need to take Niels Omon out for a game. Because he didn't play very well in game two, right? Hey, let's throw Phil Kessel in there as a spark, right? It gives you that little bit of flexibility potentially. And again, it doesn't cost you anything in theory.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. So Parker and I, we are vouching for Phil Kessel.
Sure. And it would be fun. That's the most important thing, isn't it?
Always, always. What will we catch Gretzky?
No,
I don't think he does either. No,
he needed every little bit he could get.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Let's see here. There's so many questions, but I don't know where to start.
Just go wherever. We're never gonna.
we're gonna go to Sarah. Sarah says, who do you think Lindholm would have good chemistry with aside from Petey? So let's say that pairing, again, we haven't seen it, right? Let's say it doesn't work, right? We're assuming it will, but we also assumed Louis Erickson would go great with the Sedins.
True.
So if Lindholm doesn't work with Elias Pettersson, what do you do?
If he doesn't work with Petey, do you put him up? Do you put him up with Besser and Miller? Then who does that leave Petey with? Suter and Mikheyev. Do you try him with Hoglander just because the easy Swedish connection? Do you try him at center and swap Besser and I just don't see Lindholm and Miller playing together for where I know nothing about their styles and how they'd be good compared like with each other. I just don't see that happening. I think either Lindholm plays with Petey or Lindholm centers the second line, and if they ever reunite the lotto line, I just don't see a model where it's Petey and Besser and Miller and Lindholm. You see what I mean?
Yeah. I think, I don't think they're going to split that Miller Besser pair, but
yeah,
I could see them doing it out of necessity one game.
Sure.
Right. Just being like, oh, we need a spark. Let's throw the lines in a blender, which the Canucks thankfully haven't had to do a ton. And then, then if something happens to click, then sure. But yeah, I don't see it being, I don't see it not working, to be frank. They seem like two guys who can sort of click with, like, Lindholm looks like he plays well with really good players, and so does Pettersson, right? And so giving them, you know, each other to bounce off of should work pretty well.
Right. There was one in here that Eli asked about naming a guy who we think the Canucks might go after. Oh, here. Each of you name one player you see the Canucks adding if they do make an addition. So I'm not going to put you on the spot, Parker. I've been concentrating, but I've been looking at cap friendly just to sort by UFAs and stuff like that. And then I've been looking at both forwards and defensemen. Milan Lucic you can get for $1 million.
No.
Like, you know, Matt Martin, 35 years old, 1.5. I don't know. Travis Boyd is only 30. Jordan Martinook. I don't know. Any of these guys sound good to you?
I like Martinook a little bit. Yeah. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Wondering, like, I mean, the Kraken might be trying to trade Eberle at some point, but he has a $5.5 million hit.
Yeah.
They'd have to retain half and then get some, you know, money going back. That would be tough.
A few people have asked about Tarasenko, you know. A few people have asked about Tarasenko. I don't know.
I don't see it.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't see Rick Tocchet sort of signing off on that.
Right. Right.
Viper says, if they keep the lotto line together, what would you say about Lindholm between Garland and Joshua? So what would that do? That would then, so you'd have Pettersson, Miller, Besser. You would go Lindholm, Garland, Joshua, which then brings Mikheyev down with
Suter
and Bluger or Hoglander.
Correct.
I think that third line really needs to stop working before they do that. Yeah. Because I think they are too reliable right now. If that third line suddenly goes from being one of the best units at 5-on-5 to one of the worst, and they need to switch things up, then they could go that route. But I mean, I'm also thinking like, taking out Bluger and putting in Lindholm, is Bluger really the spark of that line? I'm not sure. However, again, we've seen Lindholm excels with really good players.
Yeah.
Garland, I don't think fits that bill. I think he's close, but I don't think he's at the level of even like a Toffoli, who Lindholm did decently well with last year.
Right. Yeah. I don't see this happening either, but if you're breaking up if you keep a lot of line together, I do think that Mikheyev has to be in your top six. So I would say it's Mikheyev, Lindholm, and someone. Yeah. And right now it's Suter. And right now it's Suter. I like this one from Justin Parker. If Bedard wasn't hurt, do you think Hughes would have picked him first overall?
They seem to like doing the Canucks thing. Although he did go Kucherov.
He did. That worked out well. Well, yeah. He scored.
He did. It did work out okay. But man, he was bad in the skills. Maybe. That would have been fun. You do Bedard. And maybe if he's thinking about the future, right? He's like, all right, we're going to get Bedard. We're going to get Petey. We're going to get Miller. We're going to get Besser. We're going to get all the boys together. Like, get Demko in there too. We don't need Kucherov. We can then just spend the next 2 days tampering. Just try to bring him in here eventually.
That's good. What else you got?
Edmund, I mentioned Sean Monahan as something that we wanted to discuss. Were you surprised Sean Monahan went for a first round pick? Feels like a center at the trade deadline will at least require a first round pick, at least a decent one. I was surprised, and especially because the Habs got a first for taking on Monahan just last year. And was there any cap retained in that trade either?
Nope.
So, I mean, they did very, very well. And Monahan's only, 29. He's been decent this year, right?
Universally praised that deal for Montreal for sure.
And it worked because Monahan, figured it out, right? I mean, last year he had 23 points in 65 games before getting traded. And then once he was in Montreal, he's been, a 50-point guy again. Mm-hmm. So back to more close to young Sean Monahan.
Yeah.
He's getting paid nothing this year. He's only a $2 million cap hit because he was so bad last year and just took sort of a one-year prove-it deal. Mm-hmm. He's going to get paid next year, though. Winnipeg's going to have first go at extending him if they want to go that route. I do think it's an overpay based on, just he hasn't been fantastic in the last couple of years. So I'm hoping it's a bad trade for Winnipeg.
Yep. Yeah. Montreal, good for you. Winnipeg, I hope you guys stink, even though they're my second favorite team. Do you think SG Baines will get called up at all? MVP of the NHL All-Star or AHL All-Star deserves a chance. Parker, I think if you already have Linus Karlsson and Phil DiGiuseppe, presuming that they're going to be the two extra forwards, maybe one of them would sit down. To me, I think a Pod Colson would, in my opinion, would get called up before Baines for this year.
Yeah, I'm in a similar boat. Neither of them would have to clear waivers either way, right? Especially in the playoffs. I don't think that has any effect. I do think, like, Baines has been great. He's been a point per game player this year. He's got 40 points.
Yep.
I don't think that matters on who you're calling up, though, especially as we get into the playoffs, right?
I agree.
They're not going to be like, oh, we want the guy who you know, playing well offensively. They're going to be like, hey, Vasily Podkolzin's played 118 NHL games, right? Mm-hmm. That's going to be the guy that they go to, I think, in that case, as long as he's been playing the right way. Again, I haven't really been tracking Abbotsford this year.
Right.
You know, he's got 26 points in 35 games. Like, he's been fine. So yeah, I think that would be the route they would go, as opposed to Baines.
Yeah, I agree with you.
We'll take one more. Spartan says, does a Myers trade with retention to upgrade make sense? I think that would be really hard to swing.
And Tockett loves Myers. He really does. And what do you need? He loves Tockett. Always talks about having a big defenseman before the playoffs.
Yeah.
Can't get much bigger.
You can't. Yeah. And you know, less penalties get called in the playoffs. So maybe some of the hooks don't matter as much, or the trips or whatever he does. Look, for all the flack we've given Myers, and deservedly so, to be fair, he's been okay. And you know, I think he's been playing 19 minutes a night this year, which is a lot more palatable than 26 or 23 or whatever it was before.
Yes.
I don't see them making that move. I think they're going to play him out this year, and then he's going to sail off into the sunset, and and that'll be it.
I agree with you. Yeah. It's one of those weird ones where, if the Canucks weren't doing so well, or if they're going to be a seller, then you can say, oh yeah, move the guy for at least something. But you're going to need him as a second pairing guy on the right side this year. So
yeah,
that's what we're going to do.
All right. Well, folks, thank you all, 200 plus of you, for tuning in. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you hit like, hit subscribe. It does help us out. If you missed any part of the show, you can rewind back to the beginning here on YouTube. Or you can find it on your favorite podcast platform in about 15 to 20 minutes. We're here every Monday night, so make sure you are subscribed. You can find me, Parker's Pucks, on YouTube, Parker's Pucks on Twitter. Find Clay, Cannot Clay, on YouTube, Cannot Clay on Twitter. Clay, any parting words Monday evening?
All-Stars was fun because of the representation, but it's good to be playing real hockey, and I can't wait to see what Lindholm does, and I can't wait to see how the Canucks match up against two really good teams coming out of the break. So all is good.
Absolutely. All right, folks. Thank you all for joining. Hopefully we have a good Canucks week. We'll be back here Monday, 10 p.m. Pacific. Otherwise, have a good night.